So do I need to like say the intro or something?
Yep. Get off your ass and start working.
Hey.
Time to get to work. 2 hours later.
Broadcasting. Shut up. Broadcasting from a safe social distance. This is the Coin Rejects episode 48. And we're back. I'm sitting here on Skype, and I see three squares on the computer screen, and they are...
Rejects, not squares.
Well, they're square rejects.
Brandon.
I'm Jordan.
Ian.
And I'm Brian, and you can email us at coinrejects@gmail.com. Visit our Instagram page at instagram.com/coinrejects. Our website is coinrejects.com, and you can voicemail us at
503-766-2263.
And I believe we have a voicemail.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Let's hear it.
Gentlemen, hope you're all well. Hope the lockdown's going well. Skeech, the venture episode a while back sent me kind of pondering control schemes, and I know we've touched on that many a time, but I thought of an interesting angle for an episode. Could be a couple games that have two of the most frustrating control implementations of just the basic joystick and button action that I have found, and that would be Looping and The Pit. That'd be interesting for you guys to hate play those and give your feedback. Oddly enough, they're two games that I totally love, even though they drive me right up the goddamn wall. Looping, I'll blame it on ColecoVision. The Pit, I'll just blame it on being exposed to it at a very impressionable age when I didn't know any better, and thus it stuck with me. But anyway, Centuries of Pit, Adventure Lines, Looping, something about them I love, but holy shit, are they frustrating. You guys should give them a try. Out.
Funny you say that.
Yeah, each is like the fifth Beatle at this point, basically.
Who?
He's the fucking Nostradamus.
I got a funny story about this voicemail and the game choice, and it's not April Fool's, but we are recording remotely, and we are playing via MAME, and we decided to fire up Ian's random number generator and via MAME, and have it pick a game. And a couple days ago, Geech was saying, you guys should play Looping and The Pit back to back, pooping the shit. And coincidentally, was it today or yesterday? I can't remember, but Ian fired up his generator.
It was today.
And the game was 1982's Looping, designed by Dickhead.
VentureLine? Was VentureLine really the designer? Just a market? I didn't do any research, sorry.
VentureLine was the licensee. Was made by some random Asian company.
No, it was German.
Was it?
Really? Yeah. But
it's poorly designed.
Yeah. I was looking at VentureLine's other games, and it's just...
in the classic era. I mean, give me a break, really?
Yeah, I saw some other games that they had, but nothing stood out to me as that I knew of.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. I guess maybe we should have looked into this a little bit.
Why?
It could be interesting. We knew something about it.
It's not.
Whoa. Sky Bumper, Space Force, Super Rider.
Joker's Wild, Golden Cup. What the fuck?
Poco.
Super Rider.
Oh, they do Meteoroids, which is that like raster version of Asteroids.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
Meteor, right?
Yeah,
this is Meteoroids. This is maybe a different one, but it looks similar.
The funny thing is, as Ian was saying earlier, that this is kind of like an Asteroids-ish game. I was thinking it's kind of like a Time Pilot-ish, too.
Time Pilot would be my...
Yeah, it feels a little Time Pilot-ish.
the way it keeps going, you know.
Those, and also Defender a little bit, because of the scrolling, the screen that only scrolls two ways.
Defender stops. Can't stop, won't stop.
Anyways, that's how the other thing with these games, and we're calling it the meme of the episode now, since you know us, we usually like to play physical arcade games. We don't like to play fake bullshit, as we call it. And so one of the rules that we came up with that only a couple people agreed on is that if the random game is a game that's classic or one that we know that we can play locally, then we won't play that during these remote episodes. So because we want to do it due diligence, and you know, since most of these games on MAME are shitty anyways, then we are doing its due diligence here. So yeah, that's that. Any what's your guys' thoughts about this game?
I agree with Geech. I think the controls are annoying as shit, but it has that thing that some of those X-City games have where it's so fucking stupid that you can't believe it's kicking your ass. And mm-hmm. that makes you want to play it more because you're like, I know I can do better than this dumb shit game.
God, yeah, you're so right. I hate that.
But I found the controls, I don't know if it's MAME or if it's the hardware, but I found the controls really laggy and to get accustomed to. So I agree the controls are shit, but I don't know if they're shit because of the game or shit because of MAME.
Jordan, you've seen this game at Grinker's. Is this a typical, like, what's the control setup? Is it a gated joystick, or is it, what is it like?
You know, I can't honestly remember how it goes because it feels like it should be opposite. Like you pull up or you pull back to go
pull up
and then push forward to go down. Cause it's really, it's two ways. It's up and down and then shooting. So it's like three things. And it's a game that I totally have always put
Jesus.
Multiple quarters in. Am I feeding back?
It's just very squeaky. Oh, okay. So
if you look at a picture of the cabinet, it looks like a regular joystick, but it's got only icons for like the up and the down. So there's like a plain icon on the up and the down section. So I don't know if it's actually gated or not, but
yeah, it doesn't look like it based on the fucking dust washer. But
yeah, and doesn't that look like you pull back to make the plane go up?
You know, well, I think that's down, one of the confusing things about this is that sometimes you're right. upside down or you're right side up, and then you don't know which side is which.
I think that's the way it's supposed to be. And so when we were setting up our MAME controls, I set mine up that way, and it felt a whole lot better. So where down was up and up was down. And just because I'm used to some kind of plane games where you do that. I'll tell you, when I see this one, like, you know, in a dedicated cabinet, I do play it a few times. I forgot what it's all about. I don't know, shooting through that thing, and then what did you do? Somebody got to the next screen, and I didn't. So you shoot.
Yeah, Ian almost got to the end.
Destroy terminal, and then you.
You destroyed the terminal.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the CPO, if you pull down, it shows a plane that's pointing up. So yeah, it is definitely inverted.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And MAME has it wrong. Like if you have just the standard mapping, you're going backwards and it doesn't make any sense to me.
That's how I played my game and I thought it felt okay.
Just went push up to go up, push down to go down.
Yep. And the thing I like about the MAME controls on this is that there's two buttons and one of them is fire and the other says accelerate ?
Do you want to accelerate? Maybe.
The only time that I played, full disclosure, I've never played this game before today. Today was the very first time I've ever played this game. So I don't like going into these little competitions without like even knowing how the game works. So I played, I don't know, probably 15 games earlier today just to figure out like what the 15 actual...
15 games?
You bastard.
I know.
What the hell?
And the only time I used that accelerate button was like, after I died going through the pipe maze and was like, all right, just give me the fuck off the first part of the screen, the part that I need to go faster.
Did we talk about scores?
I've only played this game at Grinker's before.
Did we already talk about scores?
I have a little bit of a backstory. Nope. So many, many years ago, probably 10 years ago or something, I was talking with Clay Cowgill about trading some games or something. I was trying to get a Distatron from him forever, and I never did get it from him, and I had to get one from someone else. But in the meantime, we, you know, would talk about games and this and that, and he'd tell me about things he had in the storage and whatsoever, and he tried to like turn me on to games that maybe I didn't know about, and Looping, one of them. He's like, hey, you know, I got a Looping, you know, those, you'll never come by those. And I was like, yeah, I think at that time I probably, you know, maybe fired it up in MAME, and that's not really my thing. But it was kind of interesting that, you know, someone with a million bazillion games like Looping came to his mind as like something that, hey, this is kind of cool. Maybe you should check this out. Or it was just something he didn't want to fucking ever see again. I don't know.
I know Envision Dan used to have a cabinet with a Looping art package, even though it didn't have a Looping in it. But
I think I remember that.
Maybe. It was some monstrosity that was wired up to play like Centipede and Donkey Kong Jr. Like, someone liked three games, and they just hacked all the PCBs into this one cabinet. It was really, I mean, it was impressive, but it was an impressive hack job.
The best is when you use the serial printer. Is it serial or parallel? I get them mixed up. The printer switcher, the AB.
And nice.
Because it has, like, what, like 64 inputs and outputs or something. And so you could totally do, like, a whole PCB. And there you go. Yep. Just a little bit of soldering.
I was looking at the cheats, tricks, bugs, and Easter eggs, and it says, do not let too many hot air balloons appear. Otherwise, the dreaded red one will show up, making all the other balloons move more quickly. And then it says, holding the speed button when diving or climbing will give you tighter turns.
The
longer you fly tighter around in turns. The pipes, the higher your score will get. So you could have done some point pressing there. And the pipes, man. And the fucking pipes.
A long time ago.
God damn it.
99 red balloons. Great 80s class.
I'm looking at the flyer, and it says, I guess there's a conversion kit. It says, if you already own a change-a-game cabinet, a Venture Line change-a-game cabinet, you can get this conversion kit. It's got side art, the marquee, the control panel, and the PCB.
We promise.
So you already own a change a game.
Yeah. What other games can you play in the Venture Line change a game cabinet?
The other seven fucking shitty ones they made.
Yeah.
That's what they're like. They're like, oh shit, everyone's pissed off of fucking Meteoroids. We better, you know, design something else really quick so they can buy it. It's like a fucking.
Right? That meteorite that Greg has is very interesting.
But yeah. That's not this game.
That's not, but that's not the game.
This is different.
And it's not made by Venture Line.
The thing that freaks me about this game is that it feels like it came out, like, it feels like it got written in 1980 and didn't come out for 2 years. Because it is way below, like, 1982's technical level of, like, graphics or sound or anything.
But it's played.
It does have voice.
Thank you.
But it's Stratovox.
That's, like, the best part.
Wizard of War and Gorf.
Yeah, it's that chip.
Yeah. When did Wizard of War come out?
Is it Votrax, Ian?
Yeah, Votrax. Yeah.
War and Gorf, and I don't know what Stratovox used.
I think it used the same.
I like the art package on this, though.
I agree.
It's nice and bright and cheery.
Totally unlike the actual game.
Yeah, the game is like black, solid black background. The marquee's like you're in the sky doing fucking stunts. The other cool, or the, not cool, but it's funny how as soon as you take off, it's like, destroy the fucking terminal right in front of you where you just took off from. It's like, it plunges you right in the action. That part's kind of cool. I don't know.
Well, I think I don't like about this is that it makes it sound like destroying the terminal is the goal of the game when that's like the first part of the game, and the actual part at the end is they don't tell you anything, and I have no idea what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
it's really hard to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do.
Why do you? I mean, first of all, you start off in, you know, some semi-realistic area, and then all of a sudden you're into like fucking pipes. That seems kind of fucking weird to me, but
yeah.
And then the sound completely changes to like you're going on a picnic or something.
you get a tune.
At first, so it's like, I like the tune, but it's like seems totally out of place to be in the pipe tunnel.
Good luck.
Right, and then there's
so what it on. Says.
Fight number one.
So I still don't understand what you're supposed to do at the very end, because there's like a box with three orbs in it and another one bouncing around inside of it, and when it hits one of the three, they pop out and you can shoot them, yeah. But you can't destroy them, and you can bounce off of some of the surfaces there but not others, even though they look identical. Like if you hit the box with the orbs in it, you die, which has like a girder graphic, but if you hit the girder back it, you bounce right off. And I don't know why it's like that. It's very confusing.
So in your 15 games, did you ever get past the end?
I sure did not.
No.
God damn it.
I got to the end. Did not pass it.
So that was like the best game?
Not much. What happens is you beat that and then you just start over at the beginning again.
Destroy terminal. Thank you.
Hell.
And there's just past the terminal, there's like a rocket and there's the blocks you can shoot. And I tried shooting in there just to see what would happen, but I didn't get far enough without dying. I don't know if anything happens.
When I first fired it up, which was the very first time I've ever even seen the game, I immediately got a Zaxxon vibe and I was like, great. I mean, just the fact that you can't tell where you're at, you don't know what the controls are. That's the problem with MAME. You have no like orientation to the game or no intro. You're just firing it up and it's like, oh, yep. That's
Yeah, when I was first playing it, I didn't realize there was a speed up or question mark button until I looked and said, oh, this is a 2-button game. Okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't really seem to do much, but besides what I read, speed up. I mean, because the enemies don't really go after
your loops.
They just fucking fly by, so.
I mean, going through the pipes, there are some tight turns, and if I knew that you could make a tighter turn if you accelerated, that would have made that easier, I think.
But at the same time, it would be freaky, because you'd be, like, fucking going fast, and it's already hairy as it is. Like, I thought it was fast as is. The other funny thing is the whole top of the screen. As soon as you hit the top of the screen, you fucking dive bomb.
Well, that happens in the first section, and then once you get into the pipe area, if you hit the top, die. And if you hit the bottom, you also die.
Yeah. In Time Pilot, Brian, can you keep on going up, or does it eventually stop you?
No, you can really go in any direction.
Infinitely.
So in Time Pilot, you're stuck you're in the middle of the screen, and the screen is moving, so you're not actually moving necessarily.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So all the enemies are coming to you.
Yeah. Time Pilot's way better. You don't smash into the borders.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're so just cruising and having a good time. And this is awful. You're just going to hit all the time. You're just going to hit something and die. That's all you're worried about.
That reminds me of Scramble-esque, too, how it's just kind of really simple, very bare-bones graphics. And
always going to hit something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, but it's just one of those games where there's so many of these types of games. I don't know. I don't really know what to say.
Pooper Cobra.
Hey, what's the scores for this game, though? We never talked about it.
Shit. All right. Here are the scores. In fourth place is Brian with 4,150 points. Second place is Brandon with 4,180 points. Second place is Jordan with 5,600 points. And I am taking the spot again with 15,280 points. So I can wreck y'all, and I choose, and I'm going to pick some terrible ass bullshit. It's going to be great.
This is kind of bullshit because I don't get my choice from the Cubes episode. What's up with that?
Bullshit. Yep. This one.
Well, guess what? Since you lost, you don't get to choose next time. No.
I know, I'm screwed.
How about you get a... Oh, wait, you don't get anything now because you lost. You could have had veto power on the pick, I guess, is what you could have had.
That's fine.
This is the B-sides of the rejects where the game's changed. So when we get back to reality, I think you picked Joust, right? So
yeah, old Mulan. Yeah, we're going to record at your place.
Brian loves Joust.
But yeah. Whatever
the fuck he wants. I'm a fan. He gets old one. If I ever win a game again, I'll just give it to Brian.
Ever?
What a good run. I feel like I've been on a losing streak for a while, so I'm glad that I took a top spot and get to pick some awful shit.
Actually, everybody knows Brian's the best player anyhow, so he's going to win again.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know about Brian that.
For no reason.
We've all had our streaks.
We'll call you Crying Brian, not Bad Brian.
Bad Crying Brian.
Bad Crying Brian.
Was there anything else you guys want to say about this game, or we could talk about other games that have frustrating controls?
Oh yeah, that was the voicemail that we ignored, right? I forgot about that.
I think Zach's on is one of the classic examples of that.
We're addressing it.
We are. I mean, we addressed it because we happened to pick the game.
I talked about my control scheme. I switched it because I had the power of MAME. I could make up, down, and down, up.
Brian's going to hate me, but frustrating controls 720.
Well, because it breaks your
controls. Because controls are perfect.
Because it cripples you.
I would say Crazy Climber has frustrating controls for me because I don't...
It does.
I haven't figured it out. I haven't played it enough to figure it out.
Hard to figure out, but they're good once you get it.
Yeah.
I get it, but then it's still hard to, like... It's one of those things where you're thinking about it too much, and then you just... You don't have it. Let's see where they're...
Doesn't have a button to jump.
Oh, yeah. Kangaroo.
Kangaroo?
Frustrating control.
We're not doing a good job of coming up with horrible control games.
Oh, no. And, you're not listening to me. No.
Venture.
Any game that's isometric and has a joystick.
Oh, Conga Bongo.
Conga Bongo Zaxxon. You know, you should just... Maybe a trackball would make more sense, you know.
What about Q-Bert? That's isometric, in a way.
Yeah, but the joystick goes the correct way.
I know. I'm just...
Defender and Stargate just have too many controls.
Too many buttons.
Yeah, but you don't really need to use them, so...
Yeah, well, but even just the up, down, and having to do the reverse button, that's the worst. Like, thrust and the reverse button, I hate that.
Little pinky controlling. Fuck, I can't, I can't really think of any good, bad.
Throw out Asteroids and Asteroids Deluxe. Just because the button placement, the controls themselves are okay, but the button placement is shit. Because it's really hard to hit that middle button. I really like the Space Duel button layout a lot better.
And yeah, it's definitely hard to hit that middle button.
As far as a thumb button. I mean, the quintessential thumb button is on Tempest. The hyperspace. Or the super zapper.
And now you're just talking about ones where you forget that feature, the button's there kind of thing, but doesn't have back controls.
Missed shield. I've missed hyperspace a million times. I've never missed the super zapper on Tempest.
Yep. It's
in the perfect place.
Same.
I'm trying to think of control games that suck.
This is a hard one for us because we mostly own games that don't have shitty controls.
Yeah.
That have shitty controls because they're frustrating.
I feel like what's that? Yeah, somebody's drag racing.
Where's that? Is that in Milwaukee?
Yeah, old Milwaukee.
It does.
I think the bad controls is usually like associated also with bad programming or bad mapping of those controls, and then if it's like a unique control scheme plus the game sucks, then it just amplifies it. Because there's simple games,
laser games like Dragon's Lair.
That's just a TV remote, though. At the grand scheme. No, it is.
Control scheme. Yeah. I know, but it's not a good control scheme.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's channel up, channel down, and skip track.
Skip track, forward, reverse.
It's more apparent on games that are simple, like you were saying, Kangaroo, where you have limited moves, and those moves are so clunky that's why it has bad controls. But Kangaroos, I guess, is not a good example either.
It's a good.
I kind of feel like playing Bandito at Grinker's. Those controls are a little hard to.
Not bad. They do
struggling
right
with
thing.
Those controls a little bit.
They do the right. But they're just it's not easy to use.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that notchy little fucker. You know, eight ways. That's it. You know, there's no shit. You know what you're doing.
It's a little switch.
Yeah, it's just like an 8 clicky switch thing.
Street Fighter 1.
Oh, yeah.
Famously shitty controls.
Yeah. Usually the controls are associated with like either being really floaty or like super laggy, like input. It's like almost like an input lag feeling. Street Fighter 1 is like, that's 90% of that game's difficulty is the shitty ass controls.
Okay, and
I've never even played that.
Street Fighter 1 controls, and we'll all shut up.
Even the non-pneumatic ones are shitty, though. So
it has these famously terrible pneumatic buttons that were only on the dedicated cabinet. So they have these like big ass like 5-inch diameter circles where the harder you press it, the more air pressure it is, the harder you punch in the game, or the harder you kick. So there's two buttons and then a regular A-way joystick. So you could be there and just like wailing on the fucking control panel in order to punch harder. That's it. Instead of having like...
Yeah, I'm looking at the cabinet right now.
There's one for weak mid and heavy punch and weak mid heavy kick.
It's realistic, though, if you think about it. I mean, you ain't going to fucking hit anyone with a fierce punch unless you put your fucking body into it. So,
well, you could have another kind of realistic fighting game that hit you in the face with things.
A good Street Fighter to win.
That doesn't mean it would be good.
Yeah, but the thing is the funny thing about Street Fighter 1 is even... I remember playing it at Wonderland is even with the non-pneumatic version, the controls are just insanely horrible anyways. So
it was probably coded for this revolutionary pneumatic button. And then when they realized that people were like injuring themselves and suing the arcade, then they had to like switch things up real quick.
Wacky Gators.
The buttons were breaking.
The buttons are breaking. Nobody sued an arcade. Or breaking their fists.
Designed it like a Sony Explode.
The designer for both out of the gate because the pneumatic buttons were only on the dedicated cabinets and the conversion kits had regular buttons.
Yeah.
So that's not it.
Oh, so they designed them both at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. I like my story.
It'll beat your hand up like Atari football.
Yeah.
Yeah,
see, Atari football is realistic.
Some voicemails like we got from Atari football for Street Fighter 1. Actually, I do know a friend of mine, when he realized that I had a bunch of video games, he was like, oh, shit. So there's two games that I'm ridiculously, you know, crazy about. And one is the one with the big bubbles that you punched on. And I saw it for like a month and then it disappeared. And I'm like, oh, Street Fighter 1. And then the other one that he said was a laser game.
Laser talk.
And laser talk.
Yeah, laser talk. And it was like a cartoon, like Lupin 3. And that one, whatever that one is. Fucking
the Konami, the Western one.
What?
No, Cliffhanger.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, Cliffhanger.
It's Cliffhanger. Yeah. Yes, it was Cliffhanger. And he described it to me, and he said he played this game, and then he saw the anime later, and he knew what it was. It, like, all came back to him. It was the game that he used to play all the time in Hawaii. And I was like, oh, well, that's Cliffhanger, because it was Lupin 3. So they just took an anime, cut it up. Yeah,
and the movie is
not the third sequel to Looping.
Yeah, it's the castle of Caliestro or whatever. Yeah, Kelly, and that movie's fucking awesome. Yep. And the game is a pile of shit.
Proper, really good, you know, things to watch.
Yeah, it's Hayao Miyazaki, man.
All right, are we coins up or coins down on this game?
Mm-hmm. I'm coins down on it.
Very nice.
Anybody else?
Why? You have to say why. You can't just fucking say coin.
Pissed him the fuck up.
I mean, I will play it, but it's like, yeah, I have a hard time seeing myself getting past that first level. And so, I don't know. It's just frustrating to always go up when I mean to go down, or go down when I mean to go up. And yeah, I'll play it, but I won't like it.
Flip the scripts, huh?
Bit reverse it.
What?
Like Missy Elliott. Put your thing down, but then reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
That's all you got.
Still coins down.
Even with Missy's help.
I will go. This is a game where I think it's helpful to explicitly call out the difference between if it's a good game or a game you enjoy. I actually enjoyed playing the game, but I do not think it's good. It's a really bad game. It is poorly designed. It's inconsistent. None of the controls make any sense. I think I'm coins up, because I actually liked playing it. So, but it's a bad game.
That's why I was just doing that.
That's because you like bad games.
I'm coins up. I like games that are rare because they suck, and that is this game.
Well, looks like we're going to be getting a lot of coins up from you then. All right. I don't feel like I got a chance to give it a fair shake because I only played it like 3 times. But these games are kind of a dime a dozen, and there's nothing really unique about it. Tons of other games in the era do the same thing. And the coolest part was the voice. I didn't expect it to talk, and I was surprised. I was like, whoa, that's cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
But other than that, I'm coins down. It's just, it's not that great of the game. And even though it was fun playing, I still want to be a little conservative on my ratings, you know? So coins.
It's just not for you, bud.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's not for you. Jordan.
Coins up for me. I'm sure
that
if I played this thing for an hour, I would have a good time. Figure something out. And it's a very challenging game. It's just like one of those where it's just kicking your ass and it's ridiculously hard, but it's obvious. Like, I should be able to figure it out. So it's just like it's more of a puzzle, I guess. It's almost like a puzzler game, you know? It's like, why is this game so fucking hard? There's got to be a way to get through this. Somebody went to the other screens. So, I will say I like it. I do play it when I see it dedicated. I have had a good time. I've told other people to play it, and that's a coins up game for me. It's from the right era. Graphics are shit. You can't tell what the fuck you can shoot and what you can't shoot. It's very confusing. And it's a game you have to drop a bunch of quarters in, I guess, to figure out what the hell's going on. And then if you're old like me, you know, 2 years later, you can't remember what the hell's going on. And you have to, like, start all over again. So, you know.
Yeah. Last week you told me coins down. Do you remember that? Or
no, I did not. I haven't played this since last October. If Steve's was running or not, I don't know. But I think it's a game. It's actually original. You know, it's not like Time Pilot. Time Pilot, you stick in the middle. That's like saying that Knight Driver and Pole Position are the same as a racing game where you can drive your car to the sides of the screen. And, you know, it's kind of like Scramble, but you're not as, it's close to Scramble, okay. But whatever. And I don't like Scrabble either.
Scrolls no matter what you do, though, whereas this only scrolls in direction. So
there you go. So you can control the scrolling.
It's a lot like Scrabble. And I had that same thought, but the actual gameplay isn't that much like it.
Yeah, it is original. What other game is like
it? Yeah, you don't have bomb.
I dare you.
You don't what?
I dare you to tell me.
You don't have bombs.
Yeah. You made a good point, Jordan, that I forgot to talk about, which was you can't tell what the fuck you're supposed to shoot. Like, when I first played it.
Yeah, it's like you just shoot the yellow things. Nobody tells you. I mean, maybe the attract mode is good. Maybe I should have, like, looked at the attract mode, but I don't think you'd get that luxury in MAME.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I needed the whatever, instructions are printed on the CPO. Sorry, MAME didn't come with those. So, yeah, we're not giving it a fair shake. And that's kind of the reason why we did this episode, to play, you know, I think a decent game in MAME. And to just, you know, like, hey, that's not the whole thing. Just, you know, there are people who will complain that the code is the game. But the code is not the game. You need the whole package. A lot of times there's instructions on the fucking thing, you know. Sometimes you need a manual. And if you don't have the manual, good luck, bub.
The attract mode does kind of clue you in on what you're supposed to do. It shows it killing the terminal and going on to the next screen.
Well, when you start it up,
it shows it bouncing off the top.
Yeah. I mean, when you start the game, that... you know, it's fucking flashing, destroy the terminal, and then you fly by it, and there's, it's flashing, the terminal. But then, you know, you don't know what component of that to bust out, and then once you find out that, then you're like, oh yeah, but then how far do you shoot into it, and when is it destroyed? And then finally when you destroy it, it turns red, and then, you know, it's, yeah, I mean... to design this game, obviously, to take a lot of money. So,
The lazy design is what offends me the most about this game. Because, and especially the fact that you scroll from one area to another, and, like, if the whole screen changed, and you, like, destroyed the terminal, and then you went to the pipe maze, and then the rules were different, and, like, going to the top of the screen killed you instead of having you bounce off, I think I would be more okay with that. Like, that's kind of like Lazarian, you know, each section has its own rules, each screen has its own rules. But the fact that this is, like, one cohesive area and there are completely different rules for the world based on what part you've flown into is bananas to me.
I thought you were almost going to say it's a lot like lasagna, but,
lasagna could be the new bananas. It's fine.
So Blair has its own rules. But also, can I just say, like,
yep,
terminal, like, the fucking word means the end, and it's the first thing you come across, and then later on there's a thing that says, the end. What the fuck?
It's an airplane terminal. It's the airport. Where all the fucking, it's the hot balloon airport.
Hangar man.
And why, the balloon thing is kind of funny, too. It's just, you know... They don't really come after you. They kind of
just get in your way.
Your fucking balloon. Yep. You think of something cooler than that? I mean, it's not very cool.
I mean, it's kind of cool, but
no, it's not. Shit. It's a shitty fucking enemy. A fucking balloon. That's what's gonna kill you if you're fucking around. Don't fuck around. Yeah. That balloon's gonna.
Well,
come
did you see? You didn't. Well, you didn't see the fucking red balloon, did you? That's some serious shit.
You're gonna hit the balloon.
Is Nana in there? Is she gonna fucking sing me a song before she kills me?
Yeah, she wrote the song about this game.
Yeah. Fucking. It's awful. I don't know. Maybe somewhere. Maybe in another country, balloons are really fucking evil. I don't know.
In Germany.
Fucking Hindenburg.
Yeah, the Hindenburg. It should be a dirigible. There you go. Big explosion. You fuck off, you know, people are going to die. That would make more sense. Not a fucking hot air balloon.
Fucking hot.
No one's scared of your fucking hot air balloon.
People pay for that shit. They pay to go up in it, you know?
Maybe people are paying to go up and you've just shot them down.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get a nice view of the terminal. They're just sightseers, and then you roll it, fucking blow the whole family away.
Yeah, it's terrible vacation.
Killer. Then the fucking tour guide comes up in his red balloon, and he's like, "You motherfuckers, you're costing me all my rent." I don't really know what else to say.
All right, so that's looping.
That's the end. Oh, I mean looping.
That's pooping, and next time we'll play this shit. So.
I actually played the pit a little bit today in preparation. Terrible.
I didn't play it. I was looking for a Crazy Climber 80 video, but I don't think he did one. It looked like absolute fucking garbage.
It's pretty terrible.
I liked it better than looping, though. But that's not...
No. No. Yeah. I disagree.
And again, you know, it's a lot like other games that I don't like, so what else we got to talk about?
Is it John Deere tractor?
Sorry.
Purr.
He's always purring.
Are you done pussyfooting or what?
I'm done pussyfooting around.
Does that cat get up on your games?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does climb on the... Actually, he loves to go in things, so the coin box is where it's at. If a coin box is open, yeah, he wants to get in there. Yeah. But has he climbed in it? He hasn't climbed in one yet. He just looks.
No, he did the first day he got
there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Archie would go inside one in a second.
He got here. He ran downstairs to the basement, and we couldn't find him. And he was hiding in the coin box. One of the machines.
There you go.
Yeah.
We didn't know where he was. He was just stuck in one of the machines.
He was looking for loose quarters, evidently.
Did he find any? Just pack tokens?
Just tokens, yeah. No good. What? Oh, the podcast's over? Nice.
No.
It was good. Looping. It's good. What?
No, it sucks. Okay. All right. So we're going to be merging this topic to roll it all up. Is seems like most podcasts and, you know, out there are talking about what they're doing to stay busy. A lot of podcasts are also kind of remotely recording. So it just kind of had a simple topic tonight. You know, what have you been doing to stay busy? While this shit has been going on,
simple. I've been doing a million things. I'm not going to get in all that.
Jordan has a super long list.
Well, you didn't let me finish, did you?
No, I didn't.
Cocksucker. Could be arcade related. Could be arcade related. That's more preferable because, you know, it's an arcade podcast. But, you know, are you doing any extra arcade activities, you know, how do we relate to our Coin Rejects listeners?
Sounds like a fucking thesis, man. Let's fucking get
and
to
then,
the what are you talking about?
Also, you know, Roller Game Room updates. Pretty easy.
Kick it off, Brandon.
Jordan, since it's so easy, you should start out.
You said it was easy. I said it was complicated.
Oh.
I said I've been doing a million things.
Okay. I have too. I guess I'm done.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not. We want to hear what you did.
Oh, okay.
Go, go, go.
I haven't been doing anything else other than anyone else, so...
finished off my club soda. How about that?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, just finished a Miller Lite. I don't know. I've been working from home, so for the last 3 weeks, and I thought maybe I might have more time to work on games, but then it doesn't work out that way. So,
yeah, it's bullshit. There's just as much work when you're at home than you are away. I mean, yeah,
it's not a party.
That's our subject, but I know you guys, and we all chat all day long. And some of us have the option to work from home because of the types of things we do. And it's not different and it's not better. And it's just, you know, I mean, it is different. Sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Let's talk about games.
Whew. No, I mean, I agree. Like, I'm glad that you said that. That's exactly how I feel.
It's interesting for a lot of people. It's like the thing that they always thought they wanted to do, but then when they realize that it's happening, it's like, oh, well, no, now I'm working really fucking hard.
Because well, I don't know about that, but...
Fuck around, you know, as much. Because there's nobody to talk to, and, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been, you know, I've been working on my games. Usually what I do is I work on the game that I'm working on before the podcast, so they have some stuff to talk about. So we've had one podcast since all this shit went down, and I actually worked on my games last night. So that's, I mean, other than that, I've been working and doing the same shit I always do, family stuff. I wanted to put an Omega Race score update, but I decided to work on my Joust instead. I don't know why I put Joust score in the notes, because I didn't really score anything on Joust, but
do you like to work on your Joust?
I do, yeah, I love working on Joust. I got really frustrated with it though last night. Is I don't know, I'm still chasing that 1-3-1 error. And I pretty much decided that
just didn't come out the way you wanted it to.
No, yeah, I'm gonna basically shelf that game and wait till I have some better tools to work on it, because I'm going to have to pull a couple chips, and I don't want to do that with my fucking SATA pull it wannabe thing that's 1/3 the size. It's just too tedious.
On the curb, it's fine, anytime.
It's just too tedious, so yeah, I'm just going to wait till I can get a desoldering gun, and then for now I just put the working Joust PCB back in, and that's it. And other than that, I mean,
shove that PCB in my mailbox and I'll desolder it.
Yeah, do the whole thing. Just fucking
take all the chips off.
Why not? Yeah. I mean,
I think we've all been like kind of in contact with each other.
Yeah, it's not.
I saw Brian yesterday from, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet away.
I saw all three of you.
Yeah.
You're picking up the podcast gear.
Oh, the podcast gear. It was at Brian's house in Old Milwaukee. And it's like, no, we're not going to all drive to Old Milwaukee. You know, it's like one of you guys fucking go get it. And then we'll go from there. And so,
I took the hit. So I was closest.
Yeah, I open the door and I'm like, "Don't talk to me, don't."
He just threw it out.
Stay on the third step. Like, you can.
Yeah. Serious.
Fuck off. Yeah, seriously, I'm not gonna. I mean, I've been in this. It sounds ridiculous, but I've literally been in this whole quarantine thing for, you know, 3 weeks now, and I've gone out probably two times.
It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous that I think it's ridiculous that I'm staying at home. I just meant I've never experienced something like this before, and it's just weird. It's just crazy.
Nobody else has. Yeah. Well, unless we're going back to the 1800s. So, yeah. And then they didn't even know what was going on. They didn't have the fucking internet to, you know, spread the message, and so they were all just fucked.
Yeah, so, I mean...
And smallpox, and, you know, this shit has happened before. It's just like... We're actually, you know, have some knowledge and we can do something about it.
I prefer dealing with easy things like my Joust PCB, but, you know, yeah, like I said, I've narrowed it down. I just don't want to sit there and destroy the board with my shitty setup. So, just going to hang out for now.
You're not destroying anything. You're fucking good. You're so good, man.
I've desoldered like, stuff for years, but I just it's just a time thing too. I just haven't had the time. I don't want to sit there. It takes forever to desolder shit without. I mean, I could clip off all the legs and that, but it's just the act of doing that. when I finally get around to working on games at like 8-9 p.m. it's just frustrating.
Well, if you want to pick up my Hakko, we can do it. I'll put it on the curb because I'm not using it.
So yeah.
I'll pick it.
Yeah.
All right. That's not my thing right now. I don't need it. I'm doing physical restorations.
Yeah, I usually do that kind of thing in the summertime, but yeah, that's what?
He's getting ahead of himself. Talking about restoration.
Yeah. Anyways, next person in line.
I don't know. I have a short update, so I'll go. I got a new job last fall where I was working from home anyways, so there was like no real change for me, except I can't go out, even if I wanted to, which I usually don't. So I bought concert tickets, and I had rescheduled for October, so it's all right. I forget if I mentioned last time, but my MizPak broke, and I fixed it. So it was a CB issue, LS-161 counter that failed, so replaced that. Because I've been playing that. It's my score update, which I will get to. I'm still going for 250,000 points, but then I was going for that last show, and I couldn't because it broke. So,
can I ask, just for our friends out there listening, so the LS-161, when it failed, what was the symptom?
So the symptom was that all the sprites were at the top of the screen by the score, and they stayed in that. They would, like, the game played normally, but the way the graphics were displayed was fucked up. So, like, you could move around the maze, and the dots would disappear, but the characters never left this one line at the top.
That sounds good for a
right and left, not up and down.
That happened on my original Qbert PCB before I had the Doyle kit. Qbert would make the jumping sound, and you would hear all the enemies, but Qbert would just stay in the same fucking spot. And yeah, there's a couple of, kind of like the Lawnmower Man, there's a pretty good site for Qbert where you just, it's F3 or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, if your guy's fucking off on the same cube for no matter what.
Yeah, that was the nice thing about this, which is that, yeah, there's a lot of visual symptom to here's your likely suspect. So I went and I looked at that, and it pointed at some counters in the video output at 1E and 2E. So I pulled the board and I put it up on my pat and probed around with a scope, and you definitely found some dead outputs, and put a comparator on that, and it agreed all the outputs were dead. So I swapped the 161 at 2E was the problem. So I socketed that back in. It was back up and running.
This will be the first Google search on Miss Pac-Man repairs. But, you know, it's good to have this, for the rest of the eternity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I...
The thing I like about this repair is that I fixed it the day after it went down. You know, I've been playing it pretty much every day, and I played it one day, and it was fine, and then the next day I turned it on, and it was all fucked up. And,
well, you broke it, you fucker. You shouldn't have played it so much.
I fixed it the next day. I've owned this game for, I looked it up, 8 years.
Jesus.
And first problem it's developed. So that's pretty all right. You know, it's been to a couple PRGEs, and you know what? I don't begrudge it having a counter fail. So.
I totally rubbed my balls on it. Saw it.
Yep, that's, blew your CMOS.
Told me to.
Yeah, I did that last night too.
Did you put your balls on?
Yeah, yep, I did actually.
All over the chips.
When I was working on Joust, I pulled out the bug trap, and I fucking ran it on everything, like all the counters, all of the, pretty much every chip I had, and I didn't really find much. So,
shotgun.
Yeah, I did find one suspect output on the on one of the chips, but yeah. Get that desoldering gun out and fuck off.
Score update, Ms. Pack. Last show, I had beat my personal best by a few thousand points, but had not got to 250K, which has been my goal for a couple years. I still have not gotten to 250K.
God damn it.
I have been playing it, but my games have been a lot worse this month than last month. I don't know why. Just, yes. But I like to play these games cold when I'm going for a particular score, but I also like to be a little warmed up, so I'll play a different game to warm up first before I play Ms. Pack. And for the last couple months, that game has been Centipede. I've been playing a shitload of Centipede, and like, my Centipede scores have been amazing. And my Ms. Pack scores, I get the third board and then just eat shit at like 30,000 points and get frustrated and turn it off. But yeah, I put up another 100,000 plus point score on Centipede today. And I beat my previous personal best. I put up like 112,000 a couple weeks ago.
Well, so that's good.
Wow, that's awesome.
Warming up Pack to play some other game.
It's a top 10 classic game. It's so boss. It's so good. Everybody loves Centipede.
It's grown on me so much. I used to not like it, but
you know who doesn't like Centipedes?
Carol Baskin.
That bitch.
That fucking bitch from Florida. She Centipede.
Okay, that's my update.
That was a good update.
Real nice.
That sends us to
the end of the show. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Is this me?
I don't know. I mean, looks like it.
So our friend who we've met at Grinker's, Scott Bardelli, was selling off some games on Clove. And I remember talking to him about his Burger Time and trying to make a deal for that when I was selling my Paperboy, and we never quite came to a deal on that one. So yeah, he was selling off games, and so I just texted him. I was like, hey, is that Burger Time going to be part of this sell-off? Because he's selling games to make some money to buy some pins and to make some room. And he's like, oh, maybe. And so we talked about it, and at first I was kind of a little lukewarm on getting a Burger Time. I think I've kind of got to the decision that I was never going to actually get this game, and I was just kind of like letting that grail dream go. And then this came along, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I wanted to buy it or not. But I was actually talking to my wife about it, and she was like, why aren't you going to get it? I was like, oh, I have, you know, a good amount of games, and I don't have that much space. And she's like, oh, you're just going to stop getting new games? And I was like, well, no. If I had a basement to fill up like Jordan, I would totally get it. She's like, well, then you should get it. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I messaged him back and, yeah, made the deal. And part of that deal we'll let Jordan talk about later. But got the game shipped to my office, which actually this all happened right before all the shelter in place orders came down, so I had to venture out as I was working at home. So the delivery men came and they gave me a little sheet of paper that says, how are you feeling? Are you feeling all right? You got a sign here to say you're not sick. Have you come in contact with anybody that's sick? And so I had to, and of course I'm signing this using the guy's pen. It's like, oh, I don't have a pen. He's like, give me your pen. So I'm like touching his pen, touching the paper, and it's like, you know, we're all freaked out. And so, yeah, they bring the game up and got it all unwrapped and, like, threw all that stuff away immediately. Washed my hands really good and then decontaminated everything. But, yeah, I've got a nice Burger Time thanks to Scott. Thank you, Scott. Sitting up at my office right now, which I haven't been able to play this whole time since I've been working at home. The one thing that I did do, the control panel was a little dirty, so I brought the control panel home to clean, which I haven't got around to yet. So the control panel is sitting in my garage, and I was showing it to Jordan yesterday, and I noticed, I don't think this control panel's ever been worked on because all the leaf switch buttons were completely straight. All of them were like parallel to each other. It looked very neat and orderly. Like maybe it came that way out of the factory. I don't know. But yeah, I was just like, wow, this everything looks so neat and straight. I need to, if I take this apart, which I'm going to do, I need to put it all back to the same, just like it was. Got my cat here.
Yeah.
It is
the beautiful cat.
You can see his little balls.
Oh, wait, let me move my window out of the
way. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm the proud owner of a Burger Time.
I thought you said when he was coming with forms, like, do you have your food handler's permit?
Okay, so...
for these burgers?
That mic keep enabling you into buying the Burger Time.
Okay, we'll just tell the whole story, I guess. So...
Okay, well, you want to butt in here and tell your half?
Or do you have more? I won't.
Well, I've got other updates, but I mean, we can finish this story.
You should finish your story.
Okay, well, Jordan will come back with part of this, his part of this story. So Burger Time. I've got Burger Time. I'm super excited about it. It's going to live up at my office for now, since I'm pretty tapped out on space at home. Hope that my cat doesn't stop the recording. My other updates. One thing I did, Geech, who we heard from at the top of the show, sent me a link on changing Williams ribbon cables, which I've never done because there's so many soldered little points that you would have to desolder. Well, yeah. Actually, the one ROM board that I have, the ribbon cable was coming apart when I was testing that ROM board. And so I was like, oh, I should change this. And I actually had a Bob Roberts ribbon cable. But what the video showed is that how you can unlatch the top of the ribbon cable and just replace the cable and not actually desolder it all, which I never knew about. And it worked really well. I mean, it was cool because the Bob Roberts one was already, you know, the plastic was already pierced. So I was just like, pop in the little bracket, ribbon. The little like plastic bracket on the top off, and then putting this other one in, and it worked really well. I didn't know that you could take those ribbon cables apart like that, and then just you can like clamp it back down, and it snaps it into place. Yeah, so I was like super stoked on that, but like I wouldn't have done it other than the fact that that ribbon cable was completely falling apart. Yep.
I was going to tell you.
It
kind of
blows my mind that it actually works.
Don't ever fucking replace the ribbon cable, even with that method, if you're getting, you know, a reading on your ROM board, you know, like the little LED. Because if that's the case, then it's communicating to the MPU. So a lot of people just fucking destroy their ROM boards by desoldering all those fucking pins when it's working just fine, or it's fucking dirty. It's just stupid. And, you know, I mean, if it's physically damaged, then I mean, I guess do it the least intrusive way. But yeah, desoldering, it's not a good idea. Like even with proper desoldering equipment, you'll lift one of those traces off one of those 40 pins.
There's so many of them. That's why I've never replaced one. Because I look at it and I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that. It's working good enough for me.
I just plugged my
I just thought that was interesting. So I'll drop the link in the show notes of the video that I watched on that.
Use an X-Acto to cut the individual wires off of the ribbon cable and solder them right onto the solder side of the board.
That's your hot tip?
That's my hot tip. That's my op.
Yeah. I saw some video of somebody doing that to the two boards between Battle Zone, like doing wires between the two boards instead of having the cable.
That shit makes me so insane. Everyone, I don't know who came up with it, but everyone thinks that those interboard things fail like on the solder joints, and I've never found one that has failed there. Like if they fail anywhere, it's the fucking shitty IDC connectors that plug into the headers.
Yeah. And
he soldered it and it didn't change anything. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, a lot of, right. That's the thing with a lot of these games that it's kind of a good side topic, but the fucking noobs just replacing stuff for the sake of replacing is usually a bad idea. Just
stop shotgunning.
Totally.
If it's fucking working, just fucking clean it and deal with it. But I mean, there's more damage done to these games by buying parts because someone told you, go get a cap kit and fucking do this and that, and you know, buy all these fucking parts when it's working. If it's working, do not fuck with your game. Just play it.
Yeah, I've said it before, but the number one thing that I have had to repair on my games is poor quality rework. People who thought they were fixing something and were just fucking it up. I hate it.
I just plugged my iPhone into the Joust service port because I couldn't find an out.
What? Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The service outlet's fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, I was trying to work on my game last night, and I needed to plug a light in. I'm like, oh yeah, the fucking service outlet's right there. I always forget about those. But
so Joust is on right now?
No, the service outlets are always hot, even if the game's off. So
That's
why you don't want to plug like a fucking switching power supply in it like I did an idiot. But
it's like a fucking power strip. Wow, that's amazing.
If you're working on your game, like with a soldering iron or you know, pinballs too, right? Because if you have the play field up, the fucking service outlet's right there. Hell yeah.
Yep.
So I got a last couple little updates. So many, many episodes back, I talked about making the Ripier Tapper tap labels, which I've had for a while. And then I had some sticker paper that I was trying out with that. And then I was saying that I was going to laminate it with packing tape, if you guys remember. And I didn't really like that solution. And so I found some vinyl sticker paper for inkjets that is glossy, and that actually printed out really well. And so I finally printed those out and got them cut, which cutting them was kind of a bitch because there's a very slight angle that you have to cut for those tap labels. And I would just end up screwing them up. I'd like have printed a whole sheet of them and just like cut one. It's like, nope, that's no good. Tossed in the garbage and cut another one. And so I finally got two of them cut nicely and got them adhered to the game, and I think they're going to work well. So success, and I cannot think about that shit anymore. So I'm happy about that. And I also got my highest score. So last time we talked about one of the goals for Tapper for me was to get through the space stage. And one of the days when I was working at home, and after lunch, I was like, I'm going to play some Tapper. And I played a game, and I got past the space stage.
Fuck yeah.
By one level.
Wow.
And my score was 118,900. So that's my top score on Tapper so far.
Yeah. Woo!
And that's all my updates.
The
crazy.
I was going to say, you should try Mylar if you didn't go with another solution, because that would have been a good one, you know, because people put those on fucking pinball targets and stuff.
Yeah, I think this vinyl sticker paper is going to be good.
Yeah, buddy.
And as far as working at home and stuff, it's like, it doesn't feel that much different to me, other than I'm not working at the office. It's like, I'm still working the same amount. It still feels pretty similar. It's just that maybe I have a little extra time on the weekends when we might be going like out to eat or something, or going to the bins or whatever. But for the most part, you know, it doesn't feel all that much different, except that we can't go to the movies, which we usually go to a lot. And
sucks,
like I said,
right?
Go out to eat.
Not going to the movies.
Yeah, there's like been so many movies that have come and gone that we were supposed to go to that we didn't get to.
It's a
bummer.
Working from home is fine. I've been doing that for a long time. But the kids being out of school and me having to also take care of them at the same time is fucking killing me.
Yeah, that's
something that I don't have to deal with.
That is the tough thing, not being able to do what you want, even the simple things. But we've been watching movies on our projector, so that's been really fun.
Nice. Yeah, bust that out. Love movies. There's so many movies. We don't need to watch new movies. Fuck it.
I agree.
Most of the new movies suck anyways.
I watched Red Dawn last week. Good.
Yes.
Fucking watch that.
Yep. You know, if we...
Wolverines, Emilio Estevez, and Charlie Sheen, you know, and Patrick Swayze. Can you think of a movie with such good actors?
C. Thomas Howell.
Yes, C. Thomas Howell. Rest in peace.
He's not dead. He's alive.
He's still alive? Good.
Yeah.
Fucking rise from the grave.
If you guys ever decide to do, if you guys want to, like,
yes, we can do a fucking movie podcast.
Yes, I know.
Whatever we do, yeah.
I'm telling you, though,
we're super tapped out with this podcast.
We knew a lot. We know a lot about the movies.
That'd be fun to do, like a remake versus original. Like Red Dawn is a good example.
Yeah, it's never. No, that's really easy. That's nobody needs a podcast about that. The fucking,
it's not about being easy. Terrible. It's about,
well, Evil Dead 2 is technically a remake of Evil Dead. So
good. Yes. Yep. Okay.
So, Jordan, you didn't finish your. You didn't talk about your side of the update with Brian's deal.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. So my deal is, I now have a reactor. So I never thought I'd have a reactor. Everybody, not everybody, me, said I'm just going to have to build one from scratch. And I was in the works to do that. I had like all the stop it with the emojis. So I had all this stuff, you know. Oh, God.
No more fucking double dragon reactor, man. You're a real man now.
Yep. But that actually played real fine, you know. But whatever. I want a real reactor, and that's a game I love and I have an affinity for. So, my friend from Baltimore,
Scott.
You all know him and you love him, Scott. He listens to this when he can figure out how to. And other people who know him listen to it all the time. But he had an idea to get rid of games for pinball machines. I don't know what the fuck that's all about, but whatever.
Sounds that's like
the,
bullshit.
That's the typical collector pitfall.
Yeah. Talking about pitfall right there. So, reactor. I guess DJ DNS started working on this. It had some Bondo on it and stuff. And but anyhow, it wasn't $4,000, you know.
It will be after you buy the rest of the art for it.
Well, it's not. It's not for sale.
I'm going to buy it for...
No, it's not for sale.
$4,000.
It's my game that I wanted to have. It's not for sale.
So what do you got to do on that game? What does it need?
Well, it needs a lot. I did the full restore. I don't really want to go into all that, but it's tight as fuck, you know? It's really close.
Woo! This is an arcade podcast, so, you know, you can talk about restoring games.
I've done a lot of restore. We'll get that. We'll get to that in the next episode.
All right.
But I have a reactor, and that's the main thing.
You had to come out of quarantine in order to acquire it.
I did. Me and Brian, we met out of quarantine.
Did you stay 6 feet apart?
Calling the fucking cops.
Hard to say.
We licked each other's faces.
No, we did not. But it was awesome. Thank you, Brian, for doing that. He made it happen. This was serious times, and it calls for serious measures. And we did not come close to each other. And I was really happy that he could facilitate this, because I wasn't really sure how this was going to work. And it happened, and it worked, and I drug it home. Whatever. Okay. Sorry.
Same way it always works. You open your wallet like a fucking idiot, and then you
we got to split the shipping.
Why am I buying this?
Split the shipping.
40-year-old.
So here's the deal, boys. So, tell me, if you want to ship a game, Yeah. One game costs a lot of money. You're like, fuck, this sucks. Two like games is like, whoa.
Well, $50 more.
Three games is like, oh, that's really fucked again. So ship two games and you'll be happy. And, well, you won't be happy if you're one guy, but you'll be happy if you're two guys. Yeah, and don't add a third guy.
Where am I? Two guys. So you said it wasn't $4,000. Was it $2,000?
Plus? Okay. Yeah, it's a fucking reactor. Yeah. Ah. Yeah, it's a reactor. It's a working reactor. It's not going to be.
It's not restored, though.
Well, but that's for the next episode.
The fucking control rod's hanging out the side of the fucking cabinet.
So I know what's wrong with this game.
Total fucking meltdown.
It was a really easy restore.
No, it looked like it was in pretty decent shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really got on top of it.
It had water damage. It had already been fucking fixed with Bondo. It's not the biscuit joint, like, to get rid of. Do you guys want to really talk about, like, perfect games or not? I don't like a perfect game, and I would rather have left it, but the things I was going to do.
You were going to put side art on it.
Right. Well, yeah, and laminate, and so I have to make it look perfect when everything is going to... If I'm going to laminate it and put vinyl on the front, blah, 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 it's all going to look perfect. So, whatever. I'm not really happy about making a game look perfect and restoring everything. Yeah. Sorry to say.
I don't like doing that either. I think it looks stupid.
I would a roller is what I was like liken it to cars because I've done car stuff forever, but I would rather liken it to roller, but it's not going to be a roller. It's already rotted out and restored quotes. And so it's all going to have to look perfect. So it's going to look perfect. There you go.
Is the side art, are you doing like an orange laminate or is the side art, is it a full side art? I forgot on that game.
It's not a full side art, and I did do laminate on it because I can paint like that. I can auto body shop paint, but I don't want to. I'm not going to fucking do that. It's so much easier to laminate. So heads up, guys, if there's a laminate that matches the color you're going to do, think about doing it because it's a lot easier than painting. And if you're not if you don't work at a auto body shop, you're probably not going to fucking paint it very good. So just get laminate. Smooth it out, glue it on, flip it, rub it down. Oh!
So is it orange or what? Is it orange laminate or... What is the setup?
It looks exactly like
there's a Wilson Art color that's very similar.
Okay.
It's perfect. It's 100% perfect. It's the way you want it to be.
You know, I'm not a fan of the clean, brand new, out of the box looking restores either. I just think it kind of looks cheesy. I don't know what it is.
I will agree with you. I don't like to 100% restore games if I don't have to. But this one was stripped to wood. There was nothing on the side. And so I can't do anything else. I'm sorry.
You know what you need to do is put that side art on and then you fucking distress it. You fucking put some sandpaper on it after you get the side art on.
Carve some shit in it.
Yeah. Fucking burn a cigarette on the side of it and they'll be like, it'll be worth more than it is.
There's a lot of people in their hobby, they only want, you know, the best.
Yeah, those people don't fucking play their games though, so That must be some. Talking. Yeah, I mean, what are you drinking?
Everything.
White Claw.
These are so much better
than White Claw.
Slamming your dick in a car door is better than White Claw.
Jesus Christ, Jordan's hammered.
He's probably not going to come back.
Well, you know.
Man, I thought I was going to be as drunk as he is, but I
am. How many
not.
Of those? Well, I can tell.
You're
can
lagging
tell
behind, Ian.
I don't think I've ever seen you drunk before, but it seems like you've been drinking a lot.
I had two. It's not that much.
Two what? Two glasses? Two.
Yeah.
I've had like 2.5 tall boys. Well, I don't know if we have any other updates, but...
Did you have anything else for us, Jordan?
Did you have any other game updates, Jordan?
No, I think that's fine.
So, hopefully we get some... we're looking forward to some voicemails, some emails, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Tell us what you guys are all doing while you're stuck at home.
Yeah, we know you eat...
What are you fixing or breaking?
Things are really accelerating as far as working on games. I can tell already. You know, I'm in touch with the energy in the arcade environment. And yeah, people are working on stuff.
The fuck.
Aren't they?
Oh, man. Yeah. The fucking, what is that old fucking cartoon with the fucking drunk ass sailor that fucking hiccups every 10 seconds?
Thinking of E Cap. Oh, yeah. He's not a sailor, though.
He's not a sailor.
Handicap.
I don't know.
Thinking of Popeye?
Maybe it's the guy in Popeye, but yeah, that's totally Jordan right now.
So yeah, this environment is perfect for video game restoration.
Jordan, do you have,
for sure.
Jordan, do you have to go into work still every day or
no? Yeah. A couple days a week. So
obviously, well, yeah, because you can't do your job remotely, right? Because it's very specialized.
Very specialized in the medicine, but basically I'll see people who are gonna die. If I don't see him, so
stop, their
life
up.
Depends on me. There we go. That's what you want. Right, think about that. Do you want your life to depend on me?
Not right now.
Exactly. That's a fucking fact. And that's how it is in the world today.
Oh, man.
Whew.
I decided.
All right, well, I guess that's an episode.
Man, Jordan, I thought I was going to be right there with you tonight, but you've outdone me.
Next time. Jeez.
Like, if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, give us a call at.
Yeah, if you live.
Oh, you didn't pick it up, Jordan. Come on. 766, what is it?
8-7-7-7-6-2-2-6-3.
Call it if you're drunk with it, Jordan.
We'll have to have a challenge.
Prove it.
Challenge next
prove
time.
That we... you can be drunker than Jordan.
Yes. No. There's plenty of people who can. Work 3 hours.
Why didn't you start this out this way? 3 hours.
You took forever to fucking make this even work. You're fucking around.
It's true.
It's true. Play a beer for Miller. Truly from Truly.
All right. All right. I think that's good, guys.
I'm kind of enjoying this. I don't know if I want to go.
Go play some games.
I totally felt like you guys were here in my house. So,
can we have like a live hiccup counter?
It was cool. Six or seven.
Just put like a looping coin up sound every time he hiccups in post.
Thank you. That'd be kind of cool.
You shutting down my power. It feels cold here. They're on.
Well, you know, we found that your hiccups are powering the whole Southeast region. So
nice. That's some energy there. Okay, I've had fun, but I want to go to bed.
Good night, you guys.
Good night. All right.
Bye-bye.